Welcome to the OFX podcast. I'm Dave Claxton, and along with me is our dear double under dodger, McChesney. Did you do it?
No, I dodged the double under. I was well named. I mean, okay, I was like, if I'm going to do it, I'll do it Sunday afternoon. But we did a long, long run. And I was like, I can't, my hamstrings were seizing up and my back was all tight. And I was like, I can't do deadlifts and row. And then I was like, I kind of felt like my calves were already on edge. And I'm like, and then you're going to add in skipping. I was like, I'm going to hurt something. So I just didn't. I don't know if I will later. But I also, double unders really scares me because I've twice seriously flared up my Achilles practicing double unders and doing them once in a CrossFit workout, one of the opens before, and then one of the RX1 races. And I'm just everything's feeling good right now. And it's just one of those things where double unders just, and I'm not efficient at them. So it's not going to be a great workout for me anyways. I was actually, honestly, I was probably just going to do double the amount with single unders and just call it a day.
So I was like, when I heard the workout announcement, I'm like, okay, I can do this. I will be shit at, because like my double unders, as you know, are like one, like double under, one, two, single, double under, one,
single,
two,
single,
single.
double, single, single,
Exactly,
double.
exactly. Like I can't
me
link
too.
them, and I haven't even practiced that for a while. So we're gonna have the plan is we're having our buddies Chris and Kelly over Sunday. We're gonna go through it, and we're gonna go through the workout. And I'm like, okay, so Saturday night I go and I practice some double unders, and I'm like, it took me like almost 4 minutes to do 50. But like I felt pain kind of like on the inside of my shin above the ankle, right? I'm like, okay, I'm not, and the same as you, I'm like, everything feels good, I'm getting ready, you know, to get in some good qualifying efforts for DECA. I'm not doing it. I'm shutting it down.
Yeah.
So what I did do instead, well, first off, actually, so Chris and Kelly did come over. And this is why I want to say kudos to Kelly. She actually beat Chris and I at the workout, smoked us.
Well, she can do double unders.
She can do double unders, right? Yeah. And so it was really good. And she put in a good row too. Her row was nice, and she's a good deadlifter. This was a good workout for her. She did really well. Chris did his double unders through sheer anger and and determination. It was like, don't breathe and just swing it as fast as you can. And it worked for him. It worked for him. He got through it. One time,
how many whip marks did he get?
So many whip marks. But at one point, he strung 30 together at one point.
Wow, that's
I don't
a lot.
Think he took a... I don't think... Yeah, it was like one, two, slap, 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 three, 30. And I don't think he took a single breath doing this.
Oh, yeah.
But it was so it was good. What I did was I ended up doing the row and the deadlifts, and then I did box overs instead.
But okay, see, that makes more sense for what we're training for.
Exactly, and I did 50 box overs, which, by the way, in the middle of that workout, over and over, 50 box overs is a lot. I was kind of like, I think I would have rather the double. So it was good. It was all right. What felt nice to me though was my row was like I was casually rowing. Like 147, just 22 stroke rate, just nice and good. I think I had it set on a 4.5, like just felt really good the whole time. And then, and that's on my rower. You know, my rower is a little out of whack, right? So,
yeah, true.
I felt really good. That made me feel nice that the rowing's dialed in pretty good. We'll go from there. Did you watch the announcement of it at all?
I didn't watch this one at all.
Okay, so it was. The first one was okay. 24.1 was okay. This one was better. One was cool. It was in Justin Mazzaros' garage, his home workout garage. So that was kind of cool. And then him and oh my God, what is his name now? Very short. Mertens, Colton Mertens.
Oh.
They did the head-to-head. By the way, Colton Mertens also won 24.1. And then they went head to head.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
They went head to head. And I don't know, did we get to say it? But wow, Miriam Von Rohr repping High Rocks. Well done. So Colton, he won 24.1, though. So, and then him and Justin went head to head. Justin ended up getting the better of him there. But also Colton's like mom died earlier in the week, and it was just like
Oh.
it was rough. But the guy's a tank. He's a trooper. They had a instead of having Dave Castro do the announcement, they had WWE heavyweight champion Seth Rollins come in and do the introduction, who incidentally has been doing CrossFit for 12 years and then did his 24.2 in Justin's garage after they were done the announcement.
Why did they do it in their garage?
I get, well, Justin's garage looks like a CrossFit gym. It's pretty cool. They called it the shred shed. And
Heard that name before.
yeah, it's he got like custom made rigs with like his image and a mullet on it, shaped like carved it. I don't know, it was great. It was good. It looked really good. It went well. It was well done, and I think it was much better than the other one. So that was really cool. And so I did not the whole thing. I did not submit an official time, obviously. So I'm done. I'm not gonna make my quarterfinals. But the next one probably would have put me out anyway, whatever they got. And I knew that would happen. I did think that I'd be able to get through the double unders like I did for RX1, but I'm like, I don't wanna.
The next one will probably have pullovers.
Pullovers, I'm fine. I smash pullovers.
Don't want to do it. I'm
Oh,
sure I can. I just don't want to. I've watched now way too many blooper videos of people falling doing them.
Oh,
I
yeah.
just don't want.
I have. So I was doing pullovers before pullovers were cool.
I like, when is the gymnastics stuff going to stop though with CrossFit?
It won't. It's too ingrained in it, right? But I was thinking, and I mean, how excited everybody was with 24.1, because everybody could do it, right? And then you get to this, and it is like the simplest of skill movements, but it is still a skill movement in the double unders, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 like I don't know, however many thousands of people are out. I would love for them to just do it where it just kept that same mantra and go through it. And honestly, I mean, we've talked about it many times. I would love for us to put together one where it just is like simple and everybody can do it, and like still hard. You're still going to work your ass off, but it's doesn't have that high skill level.
I mean, the open really does need to weed out people though, just because
Yes.
get so many submissions, and like we do have to divide out here, like who deserves to go on and stuff. So you have to have like progression of things getting more difficult and more CrossFit specific. So I get it. The first one was great for getting mass participation
It was.
and random people doing it anyways and posting about it. So it's helps for publicity.
Even if they weren't signed up, it still helps, because just jumping in and doing it.
Yeah,
And that's just
exactly.
one thing. You needed one dumbbell. That was it. And I love that. You need one dumbbell, away you go. Great workout. Hardcore. Everybody had a good time. I do think eventually we're gonna do that. Even if it's just one time, we'll give it a shot. Even if we get 10 people, that's enough. That'll be fun. So that was cool. I think that's all about all I wanted to say about CrossFit. So that was good. We'll move on to the next round. All good. We never talked about this, and we're not going to spend much time about it. Spartan had Jacksonville, Elite Series, the North American Series. We'll go through quickly here. We'll find out essentially. So down in Jacksonville, so many people were missing. So many of your regulars were not there because of Tough Mudder Alula. Did I get that one right? All right, Tough Mudder Alula. So we were missing a lot of the big names, but you still had some good athletes turn out. And let's see here, I think I got it. Nope, we got to dig a little bit deeper here. It's further down.
Men or women, I have it.
Okay, you go with whatever you want, men or women.
The sprint, was it a
No.
sprint?
Well, yeah, it was a sprint. This was a sprint, and it was super muddy. Like, we're talking super deep, nasty Jacksonville mud.
Oh, I think I saw some pictures of people like soaked like right into their waist and stuff.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that was that one or the Savage one. I don't know. Either way, it was a lot of mud.
Oh,
It was nasty.
maybe
It was
you that
nasty.
might be right too. So men's pro, we had Lawrence Taylor in first.
Yep.
25 minutes. That's a fast sprint.
Even, yeah, considering that much mud too, it was a quick sprint.
Mike Strobel in second and Ethan Brown in third.
Now, I would have thought Ethan Brown might have come away with that one. Ethan Brown's legit. He's good.
But this was very close. Those guys were all within 19 seconds of each other. Yeah, and then there was a bit of a gap after that. So, and then we have the women, Annie Doobie, 30 minutes and 22 seconds, and then a solid 2 minutes ahead of second place Hannah Franciosa and
Sounds good
Casey
to me.
Monroe in third.
So Casey Monroe and Annie, those are very common names. They're good names.
Yeah.
Like Annie
And
was right
Ashley
up there.
Heller was fourth, so
So
yeah.
I think the women's field was a little bit better than the men's. The only problem is, I shouldn't say the only problem, but the big issue is for the men's field, I think the championship is still wide open, right? I think a lot of guys in there could still jump in and do some stuff. And those guys that ran that race could all alternate. They could have finished any spots. But Annie there, I don't think, as long as she makes it out to the next three races, I don't see a girl there able to touch her.
Well, not in this group here. Like it's a pretty significant gap there between her and second place in
And
a shorter race.
it's only three races, and it's not a
Yeah.
throw one away thing.
Yeah.
So pretty much congrats, Annie, on the Spartan Championship.
Anything can happen, but
Anything can
yes.
happen, but it is kind of like that. But you know what? I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. This is almost like a, and we talked hockey before we started. This is like a hockey team rebuilding year for Spartan. If they do it right, it's fine. If they have some issues this year, no problem. Just rebuild properly, and next year everybody be like, okay, cool. We kind of blew it up to start over, and we'll build it good.
Yeah. And if they start like paying people on time and the big qualms that people had with Spartan. So I think we'll see what happens this year
And
with that.
I have heard last week that they have caught up on some of that.
Oh.
So that's what I'm hearing. Hopefully that is a good trend in that right direction. It's only from one source. So, but one source got paid out. So
Yeah.
that's better. That's better. So yeah, not much to do about the stream didn't really happen due to really bad cell phone signal. They know that area always has cell phone signal. They kind of expected it. But the OCR report was down there, and they did do a bit of a, I don't know what you'd call it, but they recorded the race. If you go on the OCR report, you can watch what they got, and you'll get to see finish and some good racing. No commentary, but just, kind of old school. It is what it is, but it is some coverage if you're interested, and it's worth checking out. And you know what? The guys did as good a job as they could with what they had. They're not getting the financial support that the HYROX crew is getting for streams. So we'll just leave it at that. So next race, I think, is Big Bear.
I
Think so.
think another thing that would help Spartan is if they found some new venues.
Do you think they're going back to the same spot too much?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these venues people really do have to travel for. So at this point, and I mean, the Canadian races have been in the same place as long as I've been doing it.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I'm going to go back here again
Aside
for,
from Kelowna, Kelowna is what, on its third year?
yeah, Kelowna's newer. Yeah,
But it's
maybe third. But
outing.
still, it's
Tough to
like,
get
are you
to.
going to do that trip again?
Yeah.
Like, you know, some of the, especially coming. Like going across Canada is expensive. So people aren't going to keep going back. Or like Red Deer, once you've gone to Red Deer, you
We
probably
loved
aren't
Red
going to.
Deer. We had a great time.
We had a great time at Red Deer, but I'm not going back necessarily because of the beauty of the course. Like Kelowna was beautiful and I would go back for that. But again, it's like when you're looking at travel and expenses and everything. Maybe, you know, if they put somewhere different, I'd be like, that would be really cool to go. And just talking to other athletes too, it's like going back to the same venues for the last 6 years. It's like, okay, like we've done it. Put some different ones on that. Because some people, their holidays are planned around races and, you know, that's kind of what you do. So it would be nice to throw some different things in there.
So Red Deer will always have a soft spot though, because it was the place where I got my second consecutive OCR win over you. No, but in all honesty, because we did go there and we had such a great time, it was a great event. It kind of put us on the map, and we had it just at that time that Canadian series was great, was super competitive, was a
Yeah.
lot of fun. We had Aaron Newell come up. We had, Mick there and Sean Stevens Whale and the But Brendan Neely coming on the scene, like
Mm-hmm.
it was good racing, and it was like I remember that race just being a really good race and a really good time. So I will have a soft spot for there. But I could definitely see how a lot of people, if especially if you're an open waiver,
Yeah.
and once you've done Red Deer once, it's like, okay, well, I've gone up the stairs and I've gone around that island with the heavy
Yeah.
carry, and I'm pretty much done.
Yeah.
I would like
And
to
the open waivers are what pays Spartan's bills.
100%,
So
100%.
you kind of have to give them what they want too.
So where do you go now?
Well, I mean, for when we're talking out west, they could go back to Whistler, somewhere like that. Again, I mean, it's not a cheap location,
No,
but
but it is a
it's a
destination
yeah,
location.
exactly. It's somewhere that people would go. Anything in the Calgary area, that like
Oh, Banff.
Canmore, yeah, Banff, like that area would be beautiful, not cheap, but it's definitely a destination. Even like bring one out east.
What about like a stadium one in Calgary or Edmonton?
Yes.
Like that, because they both have like the football stadiums for, sorry, they're not the Eskimos anymore. They're the Elks, I think, and the Stampeders. And yeah, I don't know who was complaining about the Eskimo name, but I guess somebody must have. And anyway, I'm not gonna get down that rabbit hole. But
Well, they changed the Blackhawks, so
what's that?
the Blackhawks name was changed.
No, Chicago? No, they're still the Blackhawks.
Oh, they changed their logo.
Nope, you're thinking of the Redskins, the Washington Redskins, the football team, and the
Oh.
Cleveland Indians. But it's funny, I did actually Washington Redskins. I heard now a native tribe is actually suing them because of their new name. Because I guess the Commanders were somebody who killed natives. Like,
Oh dear.
I don't know why they didn't go to the Washington Warriors. It seemed like a pretty easy transition to go from the Redskins. Okay, and I got why that might be offensive to some. Go to the Warriors. That's kind of like a compliment, you know? And you
Yeah.
could keep the same kind of, I don't know, the same kind of theme. I thought that was a bit, that was one missed big time. But Washington has a tough time with change names on teams too. Like their basketball team used to be the Bullets, which again, see where that went, but then they went to the Wizards, and that's just lame. Yeah, it's just not good.
Yeah.
Anyway, Spartan? Were we talking about Spartan?
Yeah, locations, where would we go?
Where did
You
we go?
said
Honestly,
names.
Halifax, somewhere out east, like in Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
Halifax, if you've ever been there, is one of the most amazing cities in Canada, one of the friendliest, one of the best nightlifes. If they could put something in Halifax, even again, maybe something like a little outside the box and close to the city, like involving the harbor. I mean, there's so many cool things out there
Yeah.
and a lot of great geography. Halifax would be an amazing one. They could have one in like in Nova Scotia, there's a lot of tides, right? You could have one where like you had to run across when the tide was low and then make sure you got across before it came in. Nova Scotia. That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see them go to Nova Scotia. That I think that'd be a lot of fun. And I mean, there are so many, even people I hear, like I've heard some people kind of get down on Calabogie and stuff because they've been there so long and it's again not really a destination. Brimacombe.
Yeah, I
It's
could do
great.
without Brimacombe.
It's great because it's probably the most convenient one for us, but well, Blue's more convenient for me, but it just yeah. It's been done a lot. I think Brimacombe's been there every year since I started Spartan.
Me, yeah, it was my first Spartan race.
I think it was number two for me, but yeah, it's been there a long time. So, wow,
Yeah.
we talked a lot more Spartan than we were planning to.
That's enough Spartan for now.
That's not Spartan. Yes, there'll be more Spartan, and the series will hopefully be good this year. So hopefully we'll have that. All right, I want to talk about Deca Knoxville. So we just had the first DECA fit of the year, DECA Knoxville. OCR port to the stream was pretty good. It's hard. It's really tough because right now HYROX has raised the bar so high with the streams that it makes it a bit rough, especially when it was last weekend was that great. And then this one was Knoxville. And you know what though? It was still pretty good. They did a good job. Commentating was good. Cameras were a little shaky at the beginning, but then they worked it out, got pretty good. So the live stream was not bad. If we hadn't seen what HYROX was doing, we'd be like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Would be great. So the guys, I think, did a really good job. Good racing. And I mean, we've talked about first off, like the men's race had a pretty good field. Colin Stieffer led the way through there. Joseph Cotto came second, and then third off the top of my head. Who was third there?
Derek York.
Derek York. Yeah, and Derek was flying, man. He was pacing those runs. But Colin Stieffer looking really solid. And I don't think, I know it seems strange because we don't do this with Deck a lot. It didn't look like the fastest course. It seemed like a long farmer's carry, actually. Like I
Oh, really?
saw some of the splits some of the times, and it looked long. And even when I was watching it, I guess for the women, we'll talk. Morgan Schultz was kind of a one-woman show on this one.
Yeah.
Just dominated. And then a couple of new faces.
Yeah, Samantha Wood. And then
Yeah, Sam
Megan.
Wood. Sam
Yeah,
Wood got a new face.
she has been, yeah. Megan Gaggi.
So yeah, and they actually the cool thing, and kudos again to OCR Report, was right before the race, sometimes they feature and put a little clip up about her.
Oh, okay.
Which was great. You know, hey, doesn't always pay off when you do something like that, but they did. And so she's a female rugby player. And this was her first Decafit ever.
Awesome.
And so she did really well. She definitely worked hard for it. You could tell there was a lot of things that she just wasn't used to, but was new to her. But you could also see that if she got into it, she could have some potential. She's got some fitness. And I mean, any woman who plays high level rugby is going to be strong and is going to have some fitness to them. That's a great base.
Well, it's Chelsea Grant came from the rugby world.
Yeah, she's not very fit.
Right.
Does she make pro this year? Does she make Elite Strong this year?
Yes.
I think so too.
Oh, strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was her best one last year. She was right on the edge, and her time from age group would have put her well in the top 20 for the elite. So I think she does. I think she makes it. And I know she's doing a lot of relays too. She's enjoying those. So we'll see. Yeah, oh yeah. So Riley discovered this today. Apparently there was some issues getting the trucks to Knoxville.
Oh.
And they were in where were they in Nashville? The trucks were stored in Nashville in like a field, and they got stuck and they couldn't get them out with all the gear, so it took forever. So they didn't finish setting up the course until like 2:30 a.m. the night before. And then had waves going off at 7:30.
Oh boy.
So it was a rough one, but I mean, you know, they buckled down and got it done. You can check out actually on Robin's stories, the girl on the roller
Oh.
skates. She talks about it. But I said this is actually a horrible thing now because Joe's going to realize, hey, you guys got that done that quick. Now we need even less time to prepare. Let's spend less money.
Don't know.
Yeah.
That's stressful.
But
That's getting down to the
good on the team to pull it off. That's impressive stuff. So yeah, like we said, one cool thing, and at least you didn't see it. They did the same thing with the bike seats, where they dropped the bike seats out to zero out, which again is a good move. No, that way it's no favorite to anybody except Beth, who can ride on a zero. But even you know, right? I mean, what do you ride, two or three?
Yeah, two.
Yeah, two. So, but Morgan, big lead, comes into the bike and does not adjust the seat and does the whole ride on zero.
That would be hard with for
She
someone who's tall.
would stand up and then sit down and then stand up and then sit down. Like,
Oh.
what? Like, she had a big lead. I'm like, why didn't you just get off and adjust it? Even if.
I know. Yeah.
So yeah, it was kind of funny to see, but she did do that. And I think a lot, there was a few other ones we saw that were really just left it lower, didn't put it high enough. It was kind of interesting to see. Morgan was not pleased with her time. She was
No,
un yeah,
well, she
she
was
had to worse.
basically time trialing it, so.
Yeah. She gave an interview after, and she was like, man, didn't feel good. But back to that farmer carry thing. When I watched her do the farmer carry, not only did it look long, but she looked like, oh, this is the slowest I've ever seen. Morgan's a strong woman. You know, that farmer carry's not tough for her, and she just looked really slow on it, like just And again, maybe time trialing, maybe just not feeling it that day, maybe, saving it for the zero seat bike. I don't know.
She
But
was just under a minute.
yeah, but I mean, you think about it, like the last time I did a fit for my Farmer Carry, and at Worlds there, I think we were like 30 something. I mean, 30, 40 at most. I would think that people were, I don't know, it just seemed like a long Farmer Carry. And they do have some changes in the setups a bit for DECA. So, all right. So, like we said, Morgan, interesting race, just dominant, and she'll be ready. I expect her to do another one, and she'll be even more prepared. Did you have FOMO? Did you like, I should have went?
I didn't really like, I'm just not in DECA mindset right now. So, cause like I mean, I always love racing and DECA is a lot of fun, but I'm not really in that mindset right now. So, not really.
No, I had a little bit because we had considered going, and thought, oh, but Rye was sick anyway. We would have had to cancel, so it really ended up not mattering. So anyway, what was probably the highlight of the weekend though was the women's relay. Really good women's relay. We had Amber and Karen, Amber and
Karen.
Karen, K Karen Guidry. Then we had Marissa Pope, and oh, I can't remember her teammate's name either, but they were very close. And then another team, the third team. But they, the top,
Diana Brown is Marissa's partner.
yeah, the top three teams really, especially through the first half until probably right up to the bike, maybe even just after, were it was good. It was a good race. They did, and this frustrated me a little bit. They combined the co-ed because there wasn't a lot of co-ed teams with the women's race, and it made it so they couldn't focus as much on that battle because every now and again you had to go to Morgan and was she with Derek York?
Alexander Golic.
Oh no, Alexander Golic. That's right. Morgan and Alexander, who were just dominant. They just again ran away with it. So you had to follow them. That meant you missed some of the women's stuff, which is a bit of a shame because that women's race was fantastic. It was a lot of good. And congrats to Amber and Karen who won. It was good to see a little Canadian content on the podium.
And then Kevin Gregory and Colin Stever teamed up.
And they looked good. Colin's running is coming along. Like,
Yeah, and then we had Paul Fitzpatrick was second with Austin Tennelschoff.
I actually thought that they might sneak in a win there. When I first saw Kevin and Colin teaming up, I'm like, okay, they're a good team, but they're both station guys. Austin and Paul team up a lot. They are a good, well-oiled machine team. They know what they're doing. They work really well together. They complement each other well, and they can both do everything. But I guess I underestimated a bit because Colin and Kevin just looked really good.
Well, and then we should mention Canadian contingent again in third for the men's is Mark Steeds and Zach Tate.
And come from behind on that. I thought that they would go out hot, and they didn't. They played it really smart and picked people off as they went. And those guys, they're good buddies. I think they're like best friends, been friends for a long time. And anytime you can win with someone you're real close with, or that's even better. And they raced a very smart race, and it was not an easy field. There was some guys, I think out of Chicago, that came out there in the first half and were lighting it up. They were ahead of Colin and Kevin, like they were flying, and then they just fell off. And yeah, and I don't even know where they finished, but they fell off pretty hard. So good on them. This was also the first race for a fit with the new standards. So a couple things for me. The lunges looked a lot better.
Yeah, and I did notice some people who were trying to do some switchy lunges get stopped a couple of times. It's a lot harder to do. Also, they have to stand on the squishy mats now.
Yeah, it looks like it. And they got the lines on the squishy mats, yeah.
That's pretty wobbly. Like it's hard. It's a lot harder to move really fast on them.
My knees love the squishy mats. But my ankles don't. They're really wobbly in the front end. I've had a couple of times where I use them, and I'm like, oh, it definitely affects me. But either way, but the lunges as a whole that I saw looked better. The burpees looked a lot better. I mean, no question. But I did see a lot of no full lockout to the point where I'm like, I don't, I've gotten to the point like I do end with wall balls. Maybe I don't know what a full lockout is. Maybe I don't understand. But I'm seeing like reaching high, people reaching high. But to me, a lockout is like the elbow is like clicked. Like that's the lockout. And I remember gave myself shit weeks back when we did our first deck of strong this year because I didn't have it on some and some I misjudged people and stuff like that. So still needs work on that. You know,
I saw
either.
a lot of bent elbows still at the top. So I'm not
Exactly.
exactly sure what then the judges are maybe told about, like, it's okay as long as.
And if they are, that is where they need to get away from because that is slowly going to inch down and down and down and down and down and down. This is like when you let the
And then
kid
we'll
down.
get to where they intended it to be in the first place,
Yeah.
as long as it's over their head and you're vertical.
Yeah, but then try to explain that in the rules and it just doesn't work right.
Yeah.
And we did see a couple of dropped rams. And at first
Like
that,
thrown rams?
no thrown drop. Maybe one we saw might have been thrown. That ruck one.
Oh, I could see. Well, he dropped it from about his waist.
Yeah. So there was a couple did and did end up that anyway. At first I think they were gonna leave it, and then they did end up giving Robert Killian a 5 second penalty.
They did. Oh.
Yeah. He dropped it from about waist height. It wasn't a thrown, it wasn't anything like that. I'm sure he didn't do it deliberate as like a, you know, it's just end of the race, he's pushing hard, and that's what happened. But it did
Yeah.
cost him a position after he got that penalty.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, so I mean, but you say E and I get that, but at the same time I'm like, good. Because at first I thought they weren't going to do anything. And I'm like, you cannot have a rule and
Yeah.
not make some kind of penalty for it. You have to have it, or people are just gonna, you know, walk through it. You gotta enforce it.
So
And
they want the ram standing up back where it started.
no, it could be flat on the ground. Just essentially set it down with control.
Okay.
There was no tape box or anything like that. It was just
You
like
can
just
set it on your burpee mat. You just have to
yeah,
set it down.
totally. Yeah, you can up, down on the ground, run, no problem.
Okay.
Yeah. Just like before when we were like up and gone and who knows where it
Yeah,
went.
wherever it went, yeah.
Guilty as anybody at it. I actually at Worlds at the end there, at the end of my strong, I nearly knocked my shoe off because I went back over the back of my head and it clipped my heel on the way out. So it's yeah. Anyway, it was better, but what you said was exactly my concern is what are the judges being told beforehand? And with the lockouts, and is it like are they being told like give them a warning like before? That's the mindset we got to get away from, and you have to get into the no, you need to no rep people, and you need to do it early on. At like this is an event where you should have been,
Like, make an example of it.
yes, you should
Yeah.
be more nasty about it because that way
Yeah.
people know you're serious, and come Worlds, it's not as big as an issue.
I still don't think they're going to do no reps because I did see Yancey running around just saying higher, higher, higher. So, which is just warnings, and you can tell someone higher 20 times and then you're done your burpees.
And realistically, he's not just telling the athlete there; he's telling the judge, and
Yeah.
the judges have to click in there. But if he's seeing it enough to tell them higher, he needs to go over there and say that rep doesn't count, right? And we all know that's hard, but that's that. If you want to be legit, that's what you got to do.
Yeah. Well, and you kind of have to lay the precedent now so that by the time it gets to Worlds,
And I
you
mean,
kind
look
of
how
know.
long Hyrox is just getting better at it now with the wall balls. They're starting to get better. And I'm saying starting. It's still a problem. And how long have they been working at it, trying to be more like we heard at the last couple of Hyrox, there was tons of no reps on the wall balls.
Yeah.
And that's what you're gonna need at those, you know, at the burpees is you're gonna have to start no repping people. Otherwise it won't change and it won't get better. Other thing. With the women's race, I went through and I didn't do all the math, but there was so many women that registered for age group that would have been in the top 10 for elite. And I still, we go back to why is this even an option? And I don't know. I'm still told that your elite times will qualify you for age group, so that's good. But why is there even an option to just sign up for age group? Just make it so that there's, you know, like
Or even
you must be starting line
Jerry
again.
rig around the results after.
Yeah.
And if an age grouper, I don't know, but then they would be mad. But like again, you can race in your age group heat, but then when it comes to the overall scoring, you could still win your age group, but then overall, let's say, like I don't know why it doesn't go down from the
You
top.
should be able to win your age group from the elite wave.
Exactly.
You should have, I'm down with two divisions, competitive and open.
Yes.
Open,
Well,
there's open, there's no podiums, no nothing, no anything. Competitive, there's elite and age group podiums, which is what they're doing in Spartan races now. So I think that that plays well here, you know.
And it's so much easier in DECA because it's so much more accurate with times.
Yeah, it's totally. So that part still bothers me. I don't know. It's no, it makes me sad. Anyway, there, yeah. So either way though, it was still a good event. It was a good race. It was a great start to the season, and they did have a really good turnout. So that was good to see. It's nice to see it's still popular. And I'm very much looking forward to all of us heading to Fort Wayne. And we're having like a Canadian army going to Fort Wayne.
Yeah. Well, it's so close for us.
It is. By the way, I've made a wager about Fort Wayne for the Ultra. So me and Tara Jackson have a wager about how many people will be going. I'm not going to tell you where we have the line set, but she is the under and I'm the over. So everybody go to Fort Wayne, because if you do, then Tara has to do one of my grip Metcons, my grip con workouts on video.
You
And
have a line about how many people will do the ultra,
yes,
but I thought that they had a cap number on it.
they do. They do. But so she has a number in her head that she's like, I think less than this many people will do it. And I said, no, more than that many people will do it.
Oh, I see.
So it's like an over under. So I have the over, she has the under. She's a very much a pessimist. So everybody go out so that I can make Tara do it. Maybe I can make her do it live. And that way, if she struggles through it, we can see her suffer. And that's always fun when you can make your coach suffer. That's what it's about. So that'd be good. So there's a couple of questions running around lately with HYROX. And I've heard on Rock's Life, I've heard on Race Brain, and just a couple other things. So we'll go through this. So with everything's going really well with HYROX, but the sleds, the new equipment seem to be moving really well and everything. So because they're moving faster, the question has come up, should HYROX scale up and make things heavier for the elites?
No.
Wait, you mean pro?
Pro, the pro wave. Go, 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 run.
Well, no, I don't think so. I mean, is it because people feel like now it's becoming a running race?
That's one of the things people are, some people are saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think that with anything, it's just, a lot of these athletes now look at Lauren, she's been doing this for, this is like her fifth season. So it's just, we're getting so much more dialed in and we've been so much more specific on training for something. So naturally you just get better at it. And people have been figuring out how to better balance like run training and then with the high volume of everything else. And I don't think, I mean, if you want a HYROX heavy for something more unique, but I don't think that we should just start bumping up the weights of the pros.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Because also, it's still, like, we're still trying to get people, there's, you have the open and then you have the pros, and I mean, it's still heavy for people entering. It's just we're seeing faster times because the best are just getting faster, which just happens.
Yeah, and yeah, if you want a good look on people's opinions, go to the Rocks Life Instagram page. They put this question out there, got a lot of response. Tara Jackson specifically has a great response. I have a fantastic response, as always. Tara's is a favorite, though, obviously. I mean, she's got clout. But yeah, you don't change the race. The race is the race.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. They didn't change the weights. They just made got different equipment, better equipment, if you ask me. You just keep the race. And people are getting better at it.
Yeah.
You know, it's you don't change the sport to suit the athlete. The athletes who suit the sport come in, or you change the athlete to suit the sport. But I do agree with you. I would love to see them add a heavier, less running division. Maybe no running. Could you imagine people like Miriam Von Rohr running through a just the rock zone, no loops, just boom, hitting all the zones through the rock zone?
Oh, yeah.
Killer that would be, and how all of a sudden you would have CrossFitters flood the door.
It's still even a high rep for CrossFit, but
it's still a high rep, but it would be great.
But there's and no running, yeah.
No, very little. Well, I don't know. You still get some good running zone to zone in the rock zone. You might be putting 100 meters between each one,
mm-hmm.
but I know I would love to try that. I'd be all over that. So I can't imagine mm-hmm. I'm the only one. That's what I'd like to see them do. Keep the event the way it is, keep going the way it is, and if you want to get something heavier, add a new event to it, add a new distance. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Should women's wall balls be single scaled? And do you understand what I mean by that?
Single, no.
So right now the wall balls are lighter and the target is lower. Should it just be one of those things? And then,
and then
if you go into the open, it's actually triple scaled because they're lighter, they're lower, and there's less reps.
Yeah, well, I don't understand the less reps in the open.
No.
Like, I don't know why it's 75. It should just be 100. But no, I don't. And I understand why people are saying single scaled, because it's much more, a lot of the women and the elite 15 anyways are just doing 100 unbroken
mm-hmm.
consistently. But I mean, the target being lower, on average, women are just shorter. So I think that the target being lower just makes sense, speaking from the smallest woman that does.
No bias whatsoever.
No, don't make it higher, please. God, no. But I mean, just, I don't think there's any problems with it being, it's consistent with women's size.
I'll tell you right now, I get the question and I see both sides of the argument, and I'm not going to say either one is definitively right or wrong. So in that case, to me, the tie goes to the runner. So you stick with what it is.
Yeah. Well, and I think, yeah, exactly. Well, and I think too, it's just, it's kind of like this, like the 4 minute mile, like doing 100 wall balls unbroken at the end of the race is like the 4 minute mile. And it's just something that people strive for. And, you know, women are more consistently getting it.
And
it's not like it's easy.
No, and here's the thing, like, it's people like, well, a lot of the women can do it unbroken. Cool. It's still hard. It's still a race. You still have to do it. You can still drop it. Guess what? Steeplechase, everyone makes it over those barriers.
Right. You don't make it bigger because now they can jump it.
That's right. They're not landing in the water enough, Beth. We need bigger water.
Yeah,
people are
or
too
deeper,
fast.
So they have to learn how to swim.
People are too fast in the 5K, so we're going to add like mounds, like in the dirt bike tracks, slowing down a bit. Yeah, so and this is from someone who is not the best runner. I'm saying leave it. And if it favors the runner, so be it. This is the race you made. And it is the, you know, both sides of the coin of making a standardized race. You know, it is what it is. And once you have it set, that's what it's going to be.
Well,
so
exactly.
If you're like CrossFit or RX1, where you're constantly evolving, and that's what you were from the beginning, cool. You stay with that.
Mm-hmm.
But this has been standardized from the beginning. This is what they wanted. DECA's got the same deal, which is great and yet a problem. But that's what you got to roll with. You dance with the one who brought you.
Yeah.
If you want a heavier one, make a heavier one. All right. And you don't know we've talked about this before. Why can you qual for pro weights, or why can you qual for pro weights at Worlds running an open division? Nobody knows. Nobody understands. I've been trying to get Mentor to answer that one. I got no idea. Never figured out I will. This is my personal one. Should the ruck division use pro weights? Because right now they use the open weights.
Yes.
I don't get that. Why was that even done that? The only reason I can think is done that way is because of scheduling, maybe. They're like, okay, we want the ruck division to go at this time because there's really not that many people in it. So the open weights are already set up. So let's make them do the open weights. That's the only reason I can think they did that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it makes no sense. I mean, you're trying to make, so whatever. Yeah, and this one kind of come up. This is a personal thing. This isn't a question, but I hear people say Pyrox is a sport, DECA is a sport, la da da. No, they're not. They're companies and they're races. Hybrid fitness racing, hybrid racing, fitness racing, whatever. That's the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Spartan is not a sport. OCR is.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get confused. That's why you can't say if Hyrox does this, the sport shuts down, or if they do that, that shuts down, or whatever. No, it doesn't. It's a company. It's their race. It's like if they stop doing the 400 meter run racing, racing running is still a thing. Running races. That's the way I'm trying to say it. So, So I assume we're the same place on that one.
Yeah.
All right. Then there's 101. We just looked this up too. This is the last thing I wanted to talk to you about because I don't know if you saw this, but David's daughter and Thor's daughter, so Catherine David's daughter and Annie Thor's daughter, have banded together to start a training program for menopausal women.
Mm-hmm. With Stacey Sims. So if you've read the book Roar, it's actually incredible.
I didn't even prep her for this.
Oh. Well, she's really leading the way on like female athlete science, which is unfortunately not at most science when it comes to sport and like nutrition and everything else. She's really leading the way on it, especially with training and nutrition around women's hormonal cycles, because men's it's always the same, so it's easy, but women, because of our cycles, it's quite dramatically different based on what time of the month it is for you, and with training and even nutrition and how you kind of need to eat and fuel, it's all different throughout the month. So she's just really been like leading full charge on this for women. So if you haven't read her book Roar, it's phenomenal. And so then I mean, interesting, she picked two very big names. I don't know which direction this went, where the Annie and Katrin approached her, or it's a great pair. I mean, I don't they're not probably menopausal women yet, but will be at some point.
Well, I
but
think
they
Annie's
still are women
pregnant.
In that they've obviously had to work with understanding how to train around the cycles that women go through. So that's all part of it. And then it's just, once you hit menopause, it's just a little bit more dramatic, some of the changes, but it's still kind of, as a female athlete, the stuff that you have to go through and you have to learn about with training. Because women, so the quote, her famous quote is, women are not just small men. So we can't train the same. We don't eat the same. Like, we have different needs as female athletes.
So I guess Riot actually read it, and she was, and I think it was Annie who had the quote about her mother. Yeah. So Annie, during the pandemic, moved in with her parents, and said, "Oh, I'm going to train you guys. I'm going to train you." My mom and dad set up the training, and I guess it hit really, like, her dad, who was less focused and less dedicated. He was doing awesome. Was doing great, and her mom not so much, and she had just going through trying probably through that same thing, learning and studying about why it's affecting her this way and why she needs to change her style of programming to, like she said, Annie said what she was giving her was not working at all. And they had to completely change it because of hormonal situations of menopause and stuff. So she said that was kind of her inspiration to get involved and go through that, where her experience based with it. Because, you know, when I first pointed out our friend, she's like, what the fuck do these women know about menopause? And I thought, that's a valid question. That's a good, you know, one is currently pregnant. I don't think the other one's had any children, and they're both younger. Like, so.
But and I can understand that. But at the same time, there's still, you have to work around hormones.
Yeah.
But
it was over a year of training her mom.
Yes, it was over a year of her studying training her mom. So I get it now. But that, yeah, I thought that was a good question at first. I'm like, yeah, that's a logical question to me. I don't know what they know about it, but apparently.
Yeah.
And that's good. Yeah. I'm glad that there's good scientific backing there, because I like both those women as athletes. And
Well, and if you... It's interesting. I'm appreciating how much more it's being talked about though. And a friend of mine, if you follow the Canadian running world at all, again, Sasha Gaulish, she's been very, very outspoken about her. So she, Sasha, is 42 or 43. I ran with her at Western, and she's in perimenopause, and she's extremely open about everything that she's been going through. So Sasha went to the World Championships for marathon. She's been in the elite running world since the beginning of time. So she's gone through this, and she started perimenopause very young. And so she, same thing, and Sasha has a PhD and is very educated, and so she's just been also helping to break down some of the barriers about speaking about it and some of the misconceptions. And so if you want someone else to kind of follow to see what people are talking about and what she's learning also, it's just, and it's something you kind of have to talk about, especially as athletes, where we're expecting so much out of our bodies, and we're trying to still perform, and you're pushing the barriers, and all those little things are important. And your body changes, and you just can't do the same. And I know Sasha has said as well, like, she can't do as many hard training sessions in a week as she used to. She just doesn't recover the same. Like, your protein needs are higher, other needs are a little bit lower, and it's all learning that and being aware of those changes and how you have to adapt as an athlete.
It's an interesting topic. It's and it, I think it is something that I think in a way is a good thing that needs to be serviced, because that means that women at an advanced age are exercising more and staying in better shape and focusing on their health, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, and staying in sport longer too, because I know a lot of women, when they hit that age, like, your body can change so much, and then it's more uncomfortable to do the things that you used to do. So to keep women as they mature, to continue into sport would just, I mean, when I was growing up, I did not see 40-year-old women still racing. And now, especially like in the running world, we have Sasha Gaulish, and we have Natasha Wodak, who's in her 40s, and Melindi Elmore in her 40s, and
Amy Bevilacqua.
yeah, 50, right? So that did not exist when I was 20. In my head, once you hit 30, your athletic career was done. And so it's just, we need more of that, and we need to see women who are talking about also the changes that happen when you get around that age, because it's real. And so to see women continuing to push and be at a high level, it's just, we need more of that for the younger generation coming up.
What they need, Beth, is continued good role models. So keep it up.
Thank you. I
Keep
am nearing that 4-0.
going, keep pushing it out there, and keep showing girls, young and old, that they can keep crushing it. I'm good. You got anything else for today?
No, and that was a great ending, Dave.
Take care, everybody.